Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or your computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
It's going to be a good day. You can be seated if you're good looking. If you're ugly, remain standing. Thank you, Rich. I want us to put up the screenshot of where we are on the new Illinois project, because you guys have been asking. Come on, you guys have given $1,421,166.87. And I counted those last night. There's only 79 seats left in that quadrant, and that's just getting ready to go. And then we'll be on to the next two quadrants. And how many of y'all think we're just going to get this done lickety-split, change a lot of lives? And I know here in Florida, you probably have no desire to go to Illinois where it's 28 degrees this morning. But the neat thing we must remember is that these seats represent souls and change families and lives. Whether people go to heaven or hell, it depends upon the churches that we build, because the church still is the heartbeat of God. And Jesus is coming back after a spotless, glorious church. It's going to be good. So before I preach today, I got a joke I want to tell you. Anybody like a joke? Raise your hand. You know, there's a guy that does pretty well. I talked to him on Thursday. His name's Joel Osteen, and he always says, "I want to get started with something funny." In fact, Joel, by the way, just got contacted again by Yankee Stadium and Chicago Stadium to get back into the Knights of Hope. So give it up for that, that these coliseums and stadiums are needing the money, and we're ready to go help them. So this guy, he's an atheist, he's in his mid-50s, and he's walking through the woods, and all of a sudden now he could hear the trees are rustling and the river is flowing, and all of a sudden he sees this grizzly bear running towards him. How many of y'all hate it when that happens, you know? And this bear is running, and he says, "Oh my God!" And all of a sudden, the stream stopped and the bird stopped and it was complete silence, and he hears this voice from heaven that says, "So I assume you're acknowledging that I am God and you're a Christian." He said, "No, that's hypocritical." He said, "I'm not a Christian, but God, could you please make the bear a Christian?" And all of a sudden the river started flowing and the bird started singing and the bear started running, saying, "God, I thank you for this food that I'm about to eat right now in the name of Jesus." Come on, that's about as funny as it gets. All right. I mean, y'all don't want a Christian bear, right? It's just like, man. So today we're going to talk about that thing that I had in a dream. I saw this message in a dream, by the way, the plan that I had to preach. And then God said, no, I'm more interested. This is how cool he is. I'm more interested in them understanding how much I love them and how they're accepted. And when you make mistakes, and we all do, we tend to think that we are a mistake. You are not. Somebody on Instagram or Twitter that. You are not a mistake. You made a mistake. I was just coaching a pastor before I got on stage 2 minutes ago. In fact, a fresh voice text is in my phone here. I don't know what he was saying back, but I was telling him, you are not what you did, you're what you do. So when you walk in the room tonight, you're gonna think everybody's looking at you, and they're not looking at you. Your pride and the lack of acceptance and the self-sabotage and the pain of what you did, because shame maims you and frames you. But the Bible said that the shame was on Jesus 2,000 years ago, and now we don't get what we, somebody ought to shout amen. We don't get what we deserve. We get what God did on the cross of Calvary. This is good. If we left right now, it would be great. Here's the interesting thing, though, that about acceptance. Sometimes I see cool preachers in a pack together and social media and maybe on a big flyer, and I go, man, those are my friends in private, but in public, they don't want much to do with me. You say, why? Part of the thing is that there's a thing, and by the way, that hurts, that lack of acceptance. And what I've come to realize is that sometimes people like a gospel that is not really the gospel. they don't preach the full gospel. They take people to the valley and they leave them to the valley. And so my thing is, the Bible said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, it says, I walk by faith and not by sight, that God works all things together for your good. And 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be unto God, which always, not part of the time, some of the time, but all the time, causes me to prosper. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from God. And so they try to paint a picture to make people feel better about themselves by saying, I know you're in the dirt, and I know you got abused, and I know you're in the valley, but God saves his strongest battles for his strongest soldiers. And I go, God doesn't save a battle for anybody. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Somebody ought to shout amen. Now, this has alienated me from some of my friends. We're friends in private, and I love them. But I had to come to accept my calling. Separator. I came to preach the happy Jesus, the positive Jesus. I focus on not the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I don't leave the last part out. I go for the whole verse, and the whole verse says, but I come, this is Jesus. The Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy, but all of a sudden God shows up and says, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. That's my calling. But it doesn't really help with the rejection that I feel from my friends, because I want to be liked. I want to be on the roster. But in reality, you've got to understand that sometimes the rejection, somebody ought to get this right now, the rejection is not a reflection of you, it's a reflection of them. Wow. The mirror, everything is reverse. If you ever looked at an ambulance head on, like if you go out to an ambulance and look, it says ambulance, but it looks like it's backwards. Because the mirror that you would see it in behind you, they wanted you to see it the right way, which means that it needs to be printed this way for you to see it that way. Wow. And sometimes you don't know what the people in your world, what their mirror looks like. And so we look at the wrong mirror and the word of God. In fact, next week we start a series called March Madness, and I'm gonna march into that the word is a mirror. And so us to get a true reflection of who we really are, we've gotta go to church, get in Growth Track, get in a group, and get around the right people to tell us we are not what we did. We are what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. And we have to come, somebody ought to shout amen, to accept that so that we can really enjoy our life. Enjoy our life. Because there's just something about all of us that we're never really totally happy where we are, because once we get where we wanted to be, I want to raise a hands at the end of this here if you agree. You finally got where you wanted to be, but then when you got there, you wasn't happy with where you be, because you actually see that there's another place that you'd rather be, that you want to be, and until you get there and be that, then you can't really be happy where you're at. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about right now. So we never really enjoy our life, our calling, and so we gripe about it. So I was griping to the Lord one time. I called it prayer, but he called it griping. And how many of y'all think he was probably right? Go ahead, raise your hand. I know you guys are so kind to me, but I mean, just call it what it is. And I was griping about, you know, these people won't invite me to that cool table, and I'm not part of that cool group, and I bet I'll never get to do this, and I'll never get to do that. And if I just go ahead and do what they do, and if I was just them, then I'd be invited. And he said, are you trying to be with them, or are you trying to be with me? And you have to accept the fact, he goes, hey, let's talk about what you don't have. What is it that they got that you don't have? And I started listening out, the stuff I had. I was like, okay, my wife is definitely hotter. That's just definite. It's too much for some people, but I'm just telling you, it's factual, okay? I speak the truth. And then I thought, well, my kids are definitely more involved. They're just in my world all the time. And that doesn't happen because these guys did it that way. And then all these churches, like a lot of them only have this. And God has given me this voice to all these people. And like, heathens love me, and that's a plus. Church people don't like me, but I mean, I don't know. But hellbound sinners love me. And then my transportation and everything. And then I got to listen it out. And my list was like, oh. And their list was like this. And I go, it's good to be me. And it felt good. Then I was accepting it, and I didn't see it as a lack. I saw it as a plus. You got to bring stuff over to the plus column instead of the lack column. Yes, you were molested, but it actually, if it didn't kill you, it made you stronger. Yes, they left you, but what do you have now? Yes, that COVID really happened to you, and this would have happened if that wouldn't have happened. But the fact is, you got to count the whole scenario and look, if it hadn't been for all those things, I wouldn't be who I am. Would you want to go back and trade those experiences? I hear people say that sometimes, like, I wouldn't go back. Then again, I heard a guy this week tell me, and I thought, I never thought of it that way. He said, if I could go back and change it all, I don't think I would, because I wouldn't be who I am, and I like who I am. Wow. That's one way to look at it. All I know is this, that we are too hard on ourselves, and we don't accept who we are. You know the scripture, the Bible said, that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your spirit. It's actually Mark 12. Let's look at verse 31. It says, and the second is likened this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. That's a big thing. May I tell you that you can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? Wow. You gotta love you. The issue is sometimes you don't even like you. Have you ever looked in the mirror long enough to where you wondered why there was hair above your eyeballs, these things here? Like, yeah, raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. She's like, what's up with the hair? Why do I have hair here? In fact, some of you need to look, because I looked and you're supposed to have a separation. You've got a unibrow and you need to shave that. There needs to be like a 1 inch. Come on, go with me on this, girls. There has to be. You can't have a unibrow. It's supposed to be two of these, not one of these. But you'll look and say, man, your nose is too big and your ears are too big, or your nose is too small and your ears is too small. Apparently, in the eyes of the enemy and the inner me, there's nobody accepting who they really are. Wow. Well, if I had bigger lips, I could do duck lips really good. So I'm going to get lip injections. Now you look like Mick Jagger. Come on, remember? He couldn't even get no satisfaction. Remember that? It's like, can't get no satisfaction. Yeah. If this was tighter, I got a head like a house cat. It's big. If I gain weight, I gain it in my face. I hate that. I see other people like they eat all the donuts in the world. And they look, but their headshot looks great. They're thin. And you know, anybody know what I'm talking about right now? I see other people more tan or more, and we're always looking at somebody else instead of saying, hey, unless I love myself, I can't love other people. So then we go to work mad. Then we go to traffic mad. And then we hate the Republicans and we hate the Democrats and we think that, and we walk around hating instead of appreciating. Wow. So you can't appreciate if you hate. It got quiet in Florida, if you're wondering, they're still here. Love your neighbor. I'm not saying that you should be in love with yourself, but you have to love yourself. Yeah. We've all seen people that are in love with themselves. Anybody ever seen people, you're like, man, if I had the kind of money they thought they were worth, I'd pay off the car. Or better yet, I'd fill my gas tank up. Yeah. It's actually more expensive now to fill up the gas than it is to pay off the car. So I'm not saying that you should, I'm in love with me, but you should love you, but you can't love other people and follow God's greatest commandment if you don't love yourself. Wow. So we got to work on loving ourselves. See, sometimes you have to look in the mirror, and I do this sometimes. I go and I look in the mirror and I tell myself, remember the Saturday Night Live skit? You're strong enough. You're good enough. You're smart enough. Remember that? There's something to that. Affirm and accept you. I'm going to accept I'm never going to have six-pack abs. I tried as hard as I could. I starved myself literally almost to death, and I thought I saw something. Come on, go with me, right? I think I did from the right angle. But then I thought, I'm just going to accept the fact that I'm big bone and retain water, and I'm going to do the best that I can. But if Nicole wants to see six-pack abs, she's going to have to watch TV. Because I'm going to watch TV with her and order pizza. Can I get an amen up in this place? So you got to accept you. Now, not to say that you give up on yourself, but you stop being too hard on yourself. I'm telling you, the Lord told me to tell you, He loves us. how he loves us. He loves us so. Now, Philemon, I've been here with you before, but if you're new to this, you're going to love this verse. And if you're old to this, you still love this verse. And it's one you need to memorize because Philemon only has one chapter in it. And this is what is said in verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement. Everybody shout acknowledgement. Come on, every campus, sunset, everybody what? Acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. The acknowledgement of every good thing. He didn't say acknowledge every bad thing. Wow. He said acknowledge every good thing. When you get something new and somebody says, oh, that's a really nice coat, Petey. I could say, hey, I want to make sure they know I didn't pay for this and I'm not worthy of this and I can't accept. Hey, this was a gift, by the way, it was. Somebody gave it to me. In fact, they put the logo of the church on the inside. That's really next level right now. If you thought I bought that, you'd be all mad at me. But then and I say, oh, it's even got my name right there, David, in case somebody tried to steal my jacket. But I found myself over life when somebody would give me a compliment, I would say, hey, you know, like I couldn't accept the fact that maybe I went and bought it. I also grew up poor, and I had a poverty mentality, and so I thought that somehow you were more humble if you went to the sales rack and you couldn't buy anything full price. You had to buy. I'm all about a good deal. Nicole certainly is. She got me because I'm half off. But my point is that I'd go buy four shirts that I didn't like that would equal the same price as one shirt that I would like, y'all see what I'm saying right now, because I didn't think that I deserved it or I didn't think that I was worthy of it. Now, I'm not against getting things on sale. That's not the point. The point is you are so valuable that if you were the only person in the whole world that God would have sent his only begotten son to die if it was just you. Point to yourself. Put your finger back at yourself. And everybody say, me? Yes, you. He was looking for the prodigal. He said, I got him, but I want them. Here's the 99, but where's the one? I'm telling you that God of heaven has accepted you. He has loved you. He has died for you. He is living for you today. You need to stand up and enjoy the fact that God accepts you in the beloved. You can't be any smarter. You can't be any taller. You can't be any holier. He loves us. Oh, how he loved it. He is jealous for me. If his love was an ocean, you're going to drown. He's coming at you with the unforeseen kiss. Because he loves us. The Christians can be seated with the heathens who remain seated. But by the way, it's not about your ability. It's about God's anointing. It's not about your potential. It's about his power. It's not about your natural gift. It's about God's supernatural grace in your life. Following his will for your life. If there was one thing I want you to get out of this sermon today, is that you're accepted and you're too hard on you. Wow. You're a perfectionist. It's not good enough. Never good enough. Five means grace and favor. We know that we're at 5 years of grace and favor. Oh, while I was studying on five, this popped up and I wrote it down. This is months ago, but I kept it for you. It works today. It says the rule of five. If it's not going to matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes being upset about it. I get so upset about stuff that it really is not going to matter in 5 years. In fact, this isn't even going to matter next year. Just enjoy it. It's embarrassing doing what I do. I do stupid stuff. Last night I wore a sweater, and I'm going there. My kids are fine. And when I wore the sweater, it just wasn't good. You needed Band-Aids or something, but I couldn't really wear. I needed something. And Nicole said, "Hey, wear these." And so she stuck two things on me. And I'm doing what I'm doing. And halfway through the sermon, I look down and there's one of them laying on the floor. And I thought, when did this fall out? How did this fall out? And how do I reach down and grab it, put it back in my pocket, keep on going? Hope nobody saw. People hitting me up on Instagram going, hey, did you have some kind of covers on? Other people say, hey, the cover fell out. It was so distracting because it just started going and going, going, going. That's just one story. I got thousands of stories. A couple weeks ago, I had on a sweatshirt. Even people like Pete. Even Pete says, was your sweater, because it said things on it. He said, was your sweater backwards Saturday night or Sunday morning? And Pete wasn't the only guy that asked that question. There was a lot of people who asked that question. The fact is, it was backwards Saturday night. And a bunch of people told me it was backwards, turn it around. Had I to do it all over again, I would have kept it the way it was so there was less discussion around. Or I could just put it all public and go, admit it, quit it, forget it. Tell you, last night I had nip covers on, they fell. Week before that, I ate gummies about a month ago. Come on, somebody, remember the gummy story? I ate gummies and I got high, didn't know I got high, thought I was eating gummies, couldn't preach on Saturday night. I did it! What's really funny is some of the faces on some of the white people here. That's called me. This is part of the reason why I won't get invited to a thing, but I'm organic. I'm the people's preacher. I'm telling you that you're going to make mistakes. You're going to get embarrassed, but your last speech is not your last speech. Get on the stage, do it again. Screwed up, sound like a howling dog, put more reverb on it. What in the world are we focusing on our problems when we should focus on the rule of five? And if it ain't going to matter in 5 years, don't spend more than 5 minutes. Laugh about it. I'm gonna clap for myself. You did good, Rick. Well, that's a preaching record. Oh, yes, it is. Ephesians 1:4. How many of y'all that story blessed you? How many of you wish I'd never told that story? Raise your hand. My kids. Ephesians 1:4 says, according as he hath chosen us. Everybody shouted at all campuses, he has chosen us. Come on, Julie Thompson on the front row, our city. Everybody shout it with her. Chosen us. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame. We can't be blamed for anything. Jesus, his blood was such an overpayment for our sin. Having predestined us to adoption of his children of Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us. What's that word? Accepted. Shout it again. He's made us what? Accepted. In the beloved. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. He has accepted us. We're not only loved, we're accepted. And we were chosen. My daughter, if you're new here, she sang earlier. That's who was singing, and I would choose her for sure, but I didn't choose her. She just came. She looked like me, and there was really no reason to even fight it or have a DNA test. It was obvious. That's my kid. Austin, however, he was 7, and I had a choice. Do I want to marry the girl that has the 7-year-old? And the answer wasn't just, I don't know. The answer was yes. In fact, he's the dude that I loved. I was like, man, I want to marry her, but I also want to marry him. And he's over at the house all the time, and he was hanging out all the time, and he had his big people teeth and his little people teeth, and he said, can I call you Papa? These are all memories for me. There's concrete pads at different properties that we rehab that has my initials and his initials in it, and they can't take it out of the concrete. It's there. We're not only friends. I love him. He was adopted into my world. I'm telling you, I accepted her, but I picked him. And Jesus picked you 2,000 years ago to be accepted, to be loved, to be cared for. And you just need to walk in and go, I'm the one the Lord loves. Somebody ought to give God praise. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Not he loves me, he loves me not. He loves me, I did good, I did bad. Can't go to church for a week. Can't go to church for 4 weeks because you know what I did. Now 4 weeks later you come to God and you said, God, I'm here to repent today. When you tell God about what you did, it's not when he found out about it. He saw you when you did it. Here's the great thing about God's love is his love and his grace is so great. When you go to church, and this is why, again, you got to go to Growth Track today. At our campuses, you just don't need to leave Weldon. You don't need to leave Ferguson. By the way, Ferguson, everybody's going through Growth Track there. It's crazy. It's one of our fastest growing campuses, even though the devil attacked that campus. We built that church because God told us to go there because it was ground zero for racial tension in America. And we built it to help diffuse that and to honor the death of Michael Brown. And God has made that campus so radically crazy, fast growing, 17 acres, that the enemy attacked the campus pastor, Pastor Omar, and he went on to be to heaven. But even without a campus pastor, it's still the most fiery, dedicated campus. I've given up for Ferguson right now. But my whole point is that his grace is so good. When we come to church and we ask God to forgive us, and we got the right people in our world, he takes our sin and he throws it as far as the east is from the west, and he never remembers it again. If you were to repent today of what you did yesterday and you came to him on Monday and said, hey, you know what I did the other day? He would go, I don't know what you're talking about. You say, well, how is that possible? I don't know. He's God. I don't know how whales sing in the bottom of the ocean. I don't know how, you know, brown cows eat green grass, give me white milk. I don't know how the television works. I don't know how the metaverse works. There's a lot of things I don't know, but here's what I do know, that his love endures and his grace is sufficient and that his grace is made perfect in our weakness. So the weaker we are, the stronger he is. So God gets glory in our weaknesses. How many of y'all like me and you give God a lot of glory? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, we're almost done. There was a time when some of you were just like that, but now your sins were washed away and you have been set apart for God. Why? Not for anybody else, not to be at the cool table. You are set apart for God. And he has, shout it with me, class, accepted you. Shout it again, all campuses. What? He has accepted you because of what the Lord Jesus and his Spirit of our God has done in you. Leviticus 22, verse 19, it says that you may be accepted. You shall offer a male without blemish among the young bulls and the sheep and the goats. This was back under Levitical law to get remission of sin. Temporarily, they had to kill a spotless lamb or a spotless goat to be accepted. But now Jesus was the redemptive Savior, the spotless Son of God. And now we don't have to go in every year to get, you know, continual acceptance. I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. He is enough. That's from Maverick City, Man of Your Word, I believe. Listen to Christian music, by the way. And not just any Christian music. Listen to like Danny Gokey, Mav City, because you don't want, I'm in the valley. I'm in the mud. I'm in the crud. Anyone to die here? And God's teaching me something. No, you want, you're a man of your word. If he said it, I believe it, right? You want that. You want all these songs that are in line with the word of God. Again, that's why I don't get invited to some of the cool, like, sad sack events. But I stay home with my hot wife and enjoy my church. Galatians 2, there's no, God's still working on me. Come on, somebody. Galatians 2, verse 19. For when I tried to keep the law, I realized I could never earn God's approval. Wow. Can't earn it. I just got it. Look at your neighbor and say, I still got it. He just got it. When you mess up, you got it. When you tell a white lie, you still got it. I'm not licensed you to sin. Somebody has said that before. Like, if you teach radical grace, it gives people a license to sin. And I said, hey, people have been sinning without a license. So we need more emphasis on grace and less on our works. Last passage, I promise. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, it says, it matters very little to me what you think of me, even less where I rank in popular opinion. I don't even rank myself. Comparison in these matters are pointless. I'm not aware of anything that would disqualify me from being a good guide for you, but it doesn't mean much. The master makes that judgment. So I don't get ahead of the master and jump to conclusions with your judgments before all evidence is in. When he comes, he will bring out in the open and the place of evidence all kinds of things that were never dreamed of, and motives and purposes and prayers. Only then will any one of you get to hear these words. Well done. Here's what I want as I close. Maybe they could start playing and singing. I'm asked sometimes, and I was asked last night about something, to do something, and it's kind of a cool opportunity, and this morning I was getting my vitamins so I could be just jacked up at the right amount for you and getting all my stuff ready, and I was kind of praying underneath my breath, like, God, do I want to do that? And I heard in here, why do you want to do it? Motive. Why do you want to do it? I want you to stand up with me. You got to ask yourself, why do you want to do it? Even like coming to church, why do you want to do it? Well, I want my friends to think I'm religious. You shouldn't just want to come to do it because you're like, you know, God has been so good to me that the last thing I could ever do is not come worship him. And then today here in West Palm, and I'll preach this next weekend in St. Louis, and I, on the front row here, my grandson lives here. He's born in Florida, and I grabbed him from my daughter-in-law and put him on my hip, and I had my hands raised and I was worshiping God. Because I don't want to just teach him about sports. I don't want to just teach him about, in fact, I won't be able to teach him about sports, but I don't want to just teach him about life and business and motorcycles and having fun. I want him to see this side of his grandpa. So he knows this is what you do at church. Your head goes down, your hands go up, and you start singing, "He is jealous for me. He is jealous. He is jealous. Jealous for me. Love like a hurricane.
Love like a hurricane. I am changed.
Bending beneath.
Bending beneath. The weight of his wind and mercy."
Just let this song minister to you. Come on.
All of a sudden, I am unaware of Jesus. Transfixed by glory.
Come on, every campus, lift up your hands and sing it. Nobody moving around. Look at me at all the buildings, whether you're under the balcony and sunset or whatever campus is, all the way in the back in Earth City. I just want you to look at me in the eye just one second. Sometimes I'll just grab Nicole or grab my kids and just grab their chin and just look them in the eye and tell them, "I love you." I'm here to tell you, I want to grab everybody by the jaw and tell you, you're not what you did. And right now, you're not even who you think you are. I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too tall, I'm too black, I'm too white, I'm not educated enough, I'm overeducated. You're accepted in the beloved. And like I told that preacher this morning on the phone, by the way, preachers are just humans. you should expect stupid stuff from preachers, because the Bible said, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He didn't pick the smartest guys. He picked guys that were had a gift and a calling, and he placed them in. So we should love preachers. Don't watch things that are anti-preachers. Don't speak against preachers. Love them. Because at the end of the day, most of them are good people. Not all doctors are bad. Not all cops are bad. Not all preachers are bad. But I want to pray for you today that when you walk out of Weldon Campus or RPC, that you walk out not in pride, but proud, that you must be valuable. But I think the greatest singer, I mean, I love Kyla. She's like she's a 10 out of a 10. Ashton's just an 11. I love Christina Aguilera. I think she's a 7. But I think Ashton's an 11. They're just, when I see her, I'll run to the front. If she's in some big coliseum preaching, then people don't even, are singing. People don't even know me. And I'll be videoing, and people will tell me, they'll go, you're obviously her dad. If you can see into heaven today on the refrigerator of God's house, he's got a picture that you drew. Stretch your hands toward me right now, and I'll pray for you. We're going to sing it one more time. Father, I pray right now that they understand that they're accepted in the Beloved. God, that they can't do anything to make them be more appreciated or loved or esteemed by you. God, people watching online around the world that call Faith Church their home, God, I ask that this anointing penetrates their house through Facebook, through the metaverse, everywhere in the world, God, that they hear the sound of my voice, God, that they'll understand that they're loved, that they're accepted, and God, they'll do what they can, which is take the next step to get into growth track and get in a small group and invite their friends that are far from Jesus who need to hear messages like this. But God, today, we're going to sing it one more time, that you love us, that you died for us. Sing it. Today. Come on, Faith Church, don't patty cake. Make some noise at Weldon. Make some noise at Ferguson. Raise your hand if this helps you today. How many of y'all would say, honestly, you needed to hear this? You can be seated. We'll be out of here in a couple minutes. There's something in Loveuary before we get into March Madness. This is the last week of Loveuary, and what we've been doing is every week we've been doing really cool things like buying people cars and blessing folks. And this testimony that you're about to see today is so cool because it actually changed this young man's life. Check this out.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? An information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app, and right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.